Thank you. Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to be here this morning. It's going to be even better next week to see everybody back, or as many people that want to be back. There's just an excitement about that, but while we're getting ready for that, I think we're in the perfect place in Scriptures. We're in the book of Acts. The last 2 weeks, we've gotten up to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. So we're going to start there today. So if you want to go ahead and turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But while you're doing that, I don't know if you're like me, but during the virus time, I've spent a lot of time watching movies. Y'all been doing that? A lot of time watching movies. Now, you'll see after you watch enough movies that a lot of times those plots and those stories, they just kind of repeat themselves over and over again. But we never get tired of them. One of my favorite stories, and you'll see it in lots of movies, is the rescue story. In a rescue story, the movie will start with us getting to know everybody, getting to know all the different people, all the different characters, and then all of a sudden something will happen to one of the characters. Someone will be put into a position of needing rescuing. And then the movie proceeds from there. A leader steps forward. Sometimes you don't even know who the leader is until this point. But that leader, they look out and they come up with a plan. They make sure they have the resources for the plan. They gather everybody around and they say, you know, we're going in for the rescue. This is how we're going to do it. This is the resources we're going to use. And they paint that picture of how to rescue the person. And then you have that moment of tension. That moment where everybody just thinks about what they just heard. They think about the person that needs rescuing. They think about the resources. Do they have enough resources? And they think about the plan. Will the plan work? And they're looking at that leader and going, do I trust the leader? And they're all kind of just standing there in that tension of, should I just stand here or should I go with this? Should I stand or should I just soar into this plan that this leader has started? And in that tension and in that quiet, almost every time you'll hear somebody. It might be one of the characters, it might be the leader, but somebody will say, why are we just standing here? And then, boom, everybody just jumps into action. You know, they go, yes, we can do this. And they stop standing and they start soaring out to get the rescue done. It's that standing or soaring moment in the rescue story. And can I tell you, in Acts chapter 1, we're right in the middle of one of the biggest rescue stories that's ever been told. If we look into this story, last week we had Jesus, you know, telling them, you know, we're going, it's not time yet for the kingdom, right? It's not time yet for the kingdom. There's more people out there that need rescuing. You know, he tells them about the Holy Spirit. He tells them about his plan. And then in verse 9, it says, after he said this, he was taken up before their eyes and a cloud hid him from their sight. Verse 10. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, and suddenly two men dressed in white stood before them. So angels show up. You know, anytime you got somebody dressed in white, it's going to be the angels. And I want y'all to feel that tension. Right there, Jesus has said, here's what we're going to do. Here's the resources that you have. Here's who I am. And what were the disciples doing? They were just kind of standing there, right? So they were intently looking up. And here comes the phrase. It says, the angels stood before them. Verse 11, men of Galilee, they said, why do you just stand here? Why are we just standing around? I just told you the plan. You know, we just told you what you need to do. Why are you just standing here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. And so what we have here is that beautiful rescue story and the question posed, why are you just standing here? I pose that question to us today. Why are we just standing here? I think Jesus is there and he says, okay, I've given it to you. Now are you going to stand or are you going to soar? What are you going to do? Let's review those different parts of our story. The first question that we always have to ask is who needs rescuing? Who needs rescuing? Like I said, we can see it here that when Jesus gathered all the disciples together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said, it's not for you to know the times or the date the Father is set by his own authority. We see other places in where scriptures where it clearly says that Jesus is kind of waiting on that second coming, right? He's waiting for his name to go out. He's waiting for more people to hear about him. And we don't know when that moment will come. Who are the people who need rescuing? Everyone. Everyone. You know, church, what we have to get down deep in our hearts is that every person has a soul. Every person has this spiritual part of them. And can I tell you, every person, they might not know it, but their soul is longing for their Creator. They need rescuing. They may not understand it. We may not understand it. We may look at them and we may go, they don't need rescuing. But can I tell you that God knows they need rescuing? In fact, the Holy Spirit is going ahead of us and stirring up inside them that desire for God. And on the outside, they might look like they have it all together, right? We might look at them and we go, wow, they don't need anything. They've got it made. But on the inside, they are dying and they need rescuing. And our question is do we care enough about those people to help with the rescue plan? You know, so many times we think the exterior is true, right? We think someone that looks like they have it all together on the outside, they don't need anything. They don't need anything for us. Can I tell you, if that were true, if the exterior was the truth, then suburban America should be a paradise, right? I mean, we can drive into Cyprus and drive into communities of these nice houses with these nice cars and with these nice people that live in the nice houses with the nice cars. And we're going to have new subdivisions going here in Waller, and we'll just see really nice places. And if it's true that the exterior is a reflection of the interior and they don't need any rescuing, then what we should see is no divorce. No drugs, no abuse, no heartache. There shouldn't be any financial trouble, no depression, no despair in suburban America. We shouldn't see it, but it's rampant with it, right? There are people who need rescuing. You know, the question comes back is that do we care that they're hurting on the inside? Who are they? They're our family. They're our friends. They're our co-workers. They're our neighbors. They are the people we intersect with every day. Can I ask you, why are we just standing here when there's a world of hurting people? And part of it is that we buy the lie that they don't need rescuing. Oh, please, please hear me today. That there's so many hurting people. And God has placed us here to be a part of the rescue story. You know, the next part of the story is the resources. Are there enough resources? We talked about that last week. We talked about how it says here that the Holy Spirit you will receive power. And we talked about that dunamos, is that same word we get dynamo from, and the same word that we get explosive power from. And we talked about how powerful the Holy Spirit is. And so I don't really need to go over it too much more today, that we have the resources to accomplish the rescue mission. We have the resources. The next thing is, what's the plan? We saw that last week too. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So here's the plan. Here's the plan, is that we should look out into the world and see the hurting people. We then, as Christian people, receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And then we go out and we shine bright at home, right? We shine bright at home. So one of our mission fields is our city and our community. And then we shine out a little bit farther into our regions. And that could be our state and our nation. And then we shine out even farther than that to the ends of the earth and into the world. That's the plan. You know, how does that look with our church? You know, there's two different ways we carry out that plan as Christians. One is corporately as a church, and one is personally. You know, corporately, locally, we do benevolence. We help people that just show up. We do local missions, help local missions. The Pregnancy Help Center here in town, we give financially to that. There's other mission work going on locally that we give to. We do events, like where we hand out the backpacks, and we do our Christmas event where we invite people to hear the story of Christ. So that's kind of how we do the local thing, as well as our local worship services and our local, just our emphasis as a church here. And then we go out to the state and to the nation and to our region. We're part of an association of churches that we give to. And they're doing right now, this is really neat, I don't know if y'all have heard about it yet, but our association is doing a church planting school. Where church planters are coming to have classes at our association so they can go out and plant more churches and more churches. We're part of that. We help the Texas Baptist Convention, all the things that Texas Baptists do. We help the Southern Baptist Convention, doing things here locally and in our nation. We also give to things like New Heart of Texas. We give to the Christian Motorcycle Association, the different music groups that we have come in here and that we financially help support as they go out across our region and our state. So our church is constantly going, you know, how do we reach out farther than just our community? And then, of course, worldwide, we give to our cooperative program of the Southern Baptist Convention, where just, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of missionaries are going out to all parts of the world, and we financially help do that, as well as we have particular missionaries that we've helped in the past and we continue to help, and our orphanage in Mexico that we help out. So there's lots of ways where we're going into a worldwide view. But listen, you can't just say I'm part of the church and that's how I'm accomplishing God's mission. You can't just come in here and say, well, I'm part of the church and our church is doing this. There is also that personal part of you being invited to the rescue story. What does it look like on a personal thing? Well, your city. You know, are you reaching out? Are you showing Christ to your neighbors and in your community and in the stores you shop in and the work that you do and the activities you do? Regionally, do you go into Houston? Well, that's part of your region. Do you go into Brenham? Do you go into College Station? Do you go to Dallas? Do you go anywhere else? I mean, we're constantly a traveling and moving kind of place. You know, are you, when you go there, are you doing anything for Christ? You go, what can I do there? Let me give you something really simple. Hey, how about this week? Anywhere you go, of course, you know, I guess we're all kind of in with the virus right now, but in a typical week, what if you did this? What if you said, anywhere I go, the first thing I'll do when I get there, whether it's in Brenham, whether it's in Waller, whether it's in Houston, whether I'm flying into California, wherever it is, the first thing I'll do when I get there is I will simply prayer walk the area that I come into. What if you got that in your mind? What if you said, I am constantly on a mission, and the very least I'm going to do wherever I go is grab that thought of I'm going to pray for this area before I do anything else. Why did God take me to wherever I am that day? And can I tell you, if you start getting in your mind, it's part of this rescue plan. There are people at that gas station in Amarillo that need to hear about the saving love of Jesus Christ. And you're part of that story. What about the world? I mean, financially, of course, you can give to things. But there's just so many times where I've seen our people go out into the world. You know, my daughters have been to Honduras. They've been to England. And I'm just kind of going, boy, I've never been to places like that. But you might get opportunities to do that. If not, you've got the World Wide Web. We're seeing it now. You could put little things on there, and you'd be amazed at the reach it has. But are you thinking when you put those posts on Facebook that maybe that's part of the rescue story? Maybe God has so many of your friends out there around the world that you're supposed to do something with this thought of there's hurting people. Like, I'm uncomfortable, right? I'm uncomfortable with this thought of sharing Christ. I want to break it down as easy as I can on how to share Christ this morning. The first thing, and we're going to have three things. Three things to share Christ personally. Number one is prayer. And I'm not just saying that. I want you to hear me. It's so often we kind of use that as just that catchphrase. Have you prayed about it? Oh, let me pray about that. No, let me make sure you hear me without a shadow of a doubt that the most important thing that we can do is pray. We started really emphasizing prayer back in October and November here at the church. And I'm afraid that some of it has gotten lost in this virus time. And I want you to hear me as your pastor say that we're coming back to that. And we're coming back hard. Because the first thing, if you want to learn how to share Christ, is you've got to pray. You got to pray about people, right? Pray about your neighbors. Pray about your friends. Pray about your coworkers. You got to pray about people. But it's not just about asking God for things. That's what we've been talking about. In this prayer time, you are seeking God's face. And you are saying, God, what matters to you? And as we start saying that prayer is so important, that I'm going to get as close to God as I can, we're going to find out that God's desire to rescue people is just going to start coursing through us. You know, sometimes our problem is we never stop and pray. We just try to go and do. Don't do that. The first thing is we've got to say prayer. The next thing we've got to say is care. Care. You want to share Christ with somebody? I mean, there's all kinds of little booklets. There's all kinds of things to hand out. But the most powerful way to share Christ is to let someone see Christ's love coming through you. You want to share Christ during this virus time? Find some way to help somebody. It's going to mean so much more to them as they see you share the love of Christ in how you care for someone. We can all do that. If we see someone hurting, if we see someone in need, then simply go, you know, because of who I am and because Christ dwells in me, I'm going to honestly and sincerely care about people. We get so busy. We just don't take time to care about our neighbors. We don't take time to care about our family. We don't take time to care about other people in our life, workers and people that we just know. We just get so busy. Don't you see how Satan uses busyness to pull us off the plan that God has laid out for us? Listen, if we're praying and we're seeking God's face and we're intentionally praying about people who need to hear about Jesus Christ, we're asking God, God, show me where their hurts and their pains are so that I can now go out and I can care about them. And then we do the last one, prayer, care, and now share. Be ready to share. Isn't it crazy that so many times we care about somebody, but we never take the next step and tell them about Jesus? You know, we care about their needs and their hurts, but we never leverage that opportunity to tell them about their eternal salvation. We've got to share. It's got to be something that's just boiling over in us that I'm going to care for you. And I'm not just going to care for you because, hey, that's how I'm going to share Christ with you. I'm going to care about you because God cares about you. But in that moment, I'm also not going to walk away without sharing with you. Which one of those things fits best with your personality? And it's interesting, right? You know, we need to do all three. We need to pray, we need to care, and we need to share. But so often, we kind of lean into the one we're most comfortable with. You are a sharer, right? You know, I want to tell people about Jesus. And you get to the point that I'm going to push my belief down your throat, whether you like it or not. And you know, at that time you kind of go, whoa, you know, you can't just be that part of it. You know, maybe you're a carer. You know, that's me. I really care for people. I want people to be happy. I want people not to hurt. But you know what happens so many times is I'm going to be nice to you. And this is kind of the thought we have in the back of our mind. And I hope you guess I'm a Christian, right? I hope you get it. You know, I'm going to be really nice. I'm never going to share it with you, but I'm hoping in my niceness, somehow or another, you're just going to figure it out, right? Because we lean into care. Or maybe you're a prayer, and you say, you know, I'm going to pray and pray and pray, but then you never get up off your knees and allow that Holy Spirit that you've connected with to move you out into the... We need all... three. You're going to be stronger at one of those than the other, but that doesn't mean you should just stay there. It's the beauty of the church, you know, and in the church, we're going to take all those parts, the praying part and the caring part and the sharing part, and we're going to put it together. But personally, be aware of where you're weak. And in those weaknesses, just say this. Say, I believe in God. I believe His word is true. And I'm going to ask God to give me the power to do the things I'm weak at. And then follow through with it. Follow through with it. So now we've got the people that need to be rescued, right? We've got the power to do it. We've got the plan. We're going to do it in a way where we're going to go out through our city, our neighbors, our friends, our coworkers. We're going to go out into the region. We're going to go out into the world. We're going to think about praying and caring and sharing. Now, the third thing is, do I trust my leader? Because if I don't trust my leader, I'll never take those steps to move forward. This is so beautiful in Acts. It says, after he said this, he was taken up before their very own eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. You know, sometimes we read too fast over that. That understanding that Jesus got taken up into a cloud. If you look into the Old Testament, the cloud references God, and it references holiness. And as the disciples were looking and going, do I trust this leader? And as you see him rise and go into a cloud where he's saying, you know, this is my son, basically God's saying. This is me. And we see the holiness, that symbolic picture. And then we have these two big angels that show up, right? And the angels come out, and they say this. They say, after they say, why are you standing here? They say, this same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. It's talking about the second coming. And we know that the people of this time, the Jewish teaching, you know, there's a lot of understanding about the coming of the Messiah and the second coming. We see that one scholar said there was over 1,845 references to the coming of the Messiah. And the second coming is in 23 of the 27 New Testament books. And it's like Jesus is saying, let me show you who I am. I am, you know, God. I'm going up through this cloud, and then I'm sending my servants here, my angels, and they're telling you, I am the one who's going to be coming back. Do you trust me? I told you about the resources. I told you about the plan. You know about the people. The real question is, do you trust me? Why are you just standing there? Why are you just standing there? Is that our problem? With all these songs we sing, I don't think that we could say we don't know there's lost people out there. I don't think any of us will say that we don't believe the Holy Spirit is strong enough. I don't see how any of us could say that it's not a good plan. The only thing that I could see us getting hung up on is, do I really trust the leader? Why are you just standing there? Wouldn't you rather soar? Let me end with this. As the disciples watched him go up into heaven, we have to look back to Luke. At the end of Luke, there's kind of this part where he kind of segues, right, from Luke to Acts. And he covers some here and some there. But there's this beautiful part at the end of Luke, chapter 24, verse number 50, where he talks about the ascension of Christ. And I want you to hear. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. Can you imagine the Savior of the world just blessing you? And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. So here he goes up through the clouds. Now you got to remember, in Acts it tells us there's a little part in between verse 51 and 52, right, where the angels come there and they say, why are you just standing here? Don't you know he's the Messiah? He's going to be coming in. Why are you standing here? And then we read verse 52. Then the tension. Do I stand or do I believe this? Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. And then we go back to Acts and see them go out into Jerusalem and into Samaria and into the ends of the earth. Guys, that's our call today. The question is, are you ready to soar with the disciples, worshiping God with great joy, continually just taking that in and then taking it out into the world? Or are we just going to stand here? As we close today, I pose that question to you. Why are we just standing here? Next week, we're going to gather back together as a church. Things are going to slowly get back to normal. I don't want normal to be standing. I want normal to be soaring for our church. I don't want normal to be standing for you. I want normal to be soaring for you. There's a rescue story. You're part of it. And as we sing this song, let there be a commitment in your heart to say, I'm not just going to stand, God. I'm going to believe that there's people that need rescuing, that you've given me the power to do it, that your plan is good, and that, Jesus, I trust you with everything. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. God, thank you for this rescue story. God, thank you for letting us be part. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.